I believe the time is coming when the Lord shall come again. I believe the end is nearing every day. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Just compare today with Matthew 24. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. While upon the Mount of Olives his disciples came to him, saying, Master, tell us when these things shall be. Just be ready, be watching, let each one be free from sin. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these today we're having, and in Matthew will appear. We should live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these today we're having, and in Matthew will appear. We should live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray.
Disasters are everywhere.
How many earthquakes there were yesterday? You could just take your phone, and sometimes there's up to 50 earthquakes in one day.
Mm-hmm.
Some big, not so big, but many earthquakes will be happening in those days, like never before.
And then there's flooding.
Oh, man, all the sites in the end time.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible flooding over in Nepal.
Mm-hmm.
Just overnight, just water just gushing through the streets. Come out of nowhere. Disaster upon disaster. And the only salvation, the only solution is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make it without Jesus. You can try. You can mock him if you want, but you're going to pay the consequences. I know a lot of people that mock him. We all mock him at one time or another, but mm-hmm. somewhere along the road, you got to smarten up.
Mm-hmm.
Got to repent. That's because the grace age is over. The grace age was just to call out the bride for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Can no more become bride. That's what the grace age was for. Paul talked about it. Brenham talked about it. To call out for 2,000 years, to call out the bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that era is over. It's October the 15th, 2021. You can't no more be bright. You could be... The only thing you can be now is a guest in that for the bride. The bride's firmly established. but you can still repent. You can still, like, the grace age is over. The time to be qualified to be in the bride, that era is over, but you can still, salvation isn't over yet. You can still repent. You can still do what you need to do to move the heart of God. Even right to the very end, they can read it over the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
But even in the last, when these plagues come, all God was looking for is fear God to give him the glory.
Right.
Even though the grace age is over. But grace isn't over. Grace will never be over. Grace will go throughout the millennium. It'll be grace. All you got to do is acknowledge the Lord, that the Lord is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's all we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're just giving him the honor that he deserves. It's a piece of cake. It's easy once you get used to it. Flesh doesn't want to do it, you know. The flesh wants to sleep in. There's nothing better the Lord could have given us than to move into my heart to get up in the morning and then do what we're doing here. Without that, I couldn't make it. We wouldn't make it through the jungle. We'd be swept away like
right.
everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Into that sea of worldliness and into the devil, into that religiology.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be swept in. You got to put that in effort. See, that Lenin's program, it'll never give you eternal life.
No.
Because there's nothing there. Just tradition. I think when, I don't know if they can wear white socks yet or just black socks. They make a law, then that's their religion. You can't do this, you can't do that. Well, it's a pile of garbage.
You know, growing up, still in Miami Colony, and they came back from their conference, and I was just a little girl, and they were talking about what color socks you're allowed to wear and what color socks you aren't allowed to wear. You know, and my IQ must have been a lot more than these people, and I thought to myself, what are these people like? Where's their
crazy?
What? Where's their mindset? Like a sock. Whoever looks at a sock, all it is to put on so your feet are warm in the winter. And I thought to myself, what is going on? You know, it's just I was just young, you know. And I thought I had more IQs than these people
that make these laws.
It's religious fanatics.
Huh. Yeah, you look back, it looks crazy, but that's the reality of things.
Mm-hmm.
They do so stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
Think they can make a law, and that's the way to heaven. And they believe that garbage. That letter doesn't have an IQ of 10. He's a man, 11. He's a useless item.
Yeah, you can't think rationally with religion. Religion blocks you. It hinders you from actually thinking realistically.
We don't like to talk about these things, but we have to expose him. He's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bunch of speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of brain to keep his empire going and all that stuff, but when it comes to spiritual things, these people are simply no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
My sister's husband from Cyprus, that Jewel, he's completely a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it shocks me.
When it comes to spiritual things.
Oh, yeah, it really shocks me. They can actually quote the Bible, but they quote it so out of context, your mind just can't even go there. You know, they just use the Bible to promote their religious ideology, but it's so empty. And I'm always surprised. I don't know why I should be surprised, but I am, because spiritually, like, they're so empty, and their words are so shallow. When you know, all your life, you follow the Spirit of the living God, and these people, you come across these people, and they use the Scripture to promote their religious agenda, but spiritually, they're empty and void. And that's the one thing that shocks me, you know, how empty and void it actually is.
That's basically that nakedness.
Mm-hmm.
The Laodicea is naked. That religious system is naked. It's blind, it's wretched, it's poor, it's miserable. The people that carry that religion, they're no-brainers.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. Lord, I don't want to do one thing on my own. Put me where you want me, Lord, where I belong. Give me the strength, Lord, to do the perfect will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Lord, I want to do the things you want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of thy will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. This world gets more wicked every day. People's hearts have grown cold, forgotten how to pray. But if I live to be 100, I'll keep holding to your hand until you come to take me out to that promised land. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Lord, I want to do the things you want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of thy will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. This world gets more wicked every day. People's hearts have grown cold, forgotten how to pray. But if I live to be 100, I'll be holding to your hand till you come to take me out to that promised land. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Lord, I want to do the things you want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of thy will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. The world gets more wicked every day, like the Bible says. Things will wax worse and worse. It's not going to get better unless you put in an effort. But if you follow the world trend and you don't put in an effort, then you're going to slip away with the world. You're just going to drift off, and you won't even know you're drifting, like a piece of driftwood.
Right.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. I dreamt of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, I cried, holy, the angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion, and oh, the sights I saw. But I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, holy, holy, holy. I clapped my hands and sang glory, glory Son of God. I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, Holy, Holy. Then I clapped my hands and sang, Glory, Glory to the Son of God. As I entered the gates of that city, my loved ones knew me well. They took me down the streets of heaven. The saints were too many to tell. I saw Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Talk with Mark and Timothy. But I said I want to see Jesus. Cause he's the one who died for me. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, Holy, Holy. Then I clapped my hands and sang, Glory, Glory to the Son of God. I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, Holy, Holy. I clap my hands and sing, Glory, Glory to the Son of God. I thought when I saw my Savior, oh, glory to God. I just fell down before Him, sing praise to the name of the Lord. I bow down and worship Jehovah, my friend of Calvary. For I want to give praise to Jesus for saving a sinner like me. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, Holy, Holy. Then I clapped my hands and sang, Glory, Glory to the Son of God. I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, Holy, Holy. Then I clapped my hands and sang, Glory, Glory to the Son of God. I thought, when I saw my Savior, oh, glory to God. I just fell right down before Him, sing praise to the name of the Lord. I bow down and worship Jehovah, my friend of Calvary. For I want to give praise to Jesus, for saving a sinner like me. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, Holy, Holy. I clapped my hands and sang, Glory, Glory to the Son of God. I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, Holy, Holy. I clap my hands and sing, Glory, Glory to the Son of God. The anchor holds, though the ship's been battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I raise the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. The anchor holds, though the ship's been battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. The raging seas, the anchor holds in spite. the anchor holds. Though the ship is battered, the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn, I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. Gonna pray my way out, never a fear, never a doubt. He will deliver me once again. Gonna pray my way out of whatever I'm in. Gonna pray my way out, never a fear, never a doubt. He will deliver me once again. Gonna pray my way out of whatever I'm in. Gonna pray my way out, never a fear, never a doubt. He will deliver me once again. Gonna pray my way out on whatever I mean. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trembling out the vintage word, in the grace of wrath a store. He had loose his faithful light of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He's trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. You see, when you watch the news, that rain over in Nepal and all over the world, wars and rumors of wars, and that's God losing his faithful lightning.
Yeah.
It's water. And
you can see that water coming. It's not asking, you know. It yeah. just comes and it just takes whatever it wants.
That's his terrible swift sword. He may love the luft of me, and my seas are got to see it. Auf zu Rai, sondern schon. He kept the heels for punishment and the water patterns. You see him all over the world. You can't deny it anymore. Right in your face. Just turn on the news and you'll see it. Wars and rumors of wars.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be deceived. That's Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God will not be made a fool of. For a person will reap what he sows. Another translation. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Yeah, you can go mock him. You can reject him. You can tell him to go fly a kite if you want. But you're going to suffer the consequences. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Ehre dich nicht, Gott lässt sich nicht spotten. I mean, it's that. You can spit them in the face. You can do whatever you want. You can reject them. You can tell them to go fly a kite. But at the end of the day, you're only hurting yourself because God is not mocked. God lässt sich nicht spotten. And was the man saith, das wird erden. wer auf den Fleisch sieht, der wird von dem Fleisch das Verderben ernten. Und wer aber auf den Geist sieht, der wird von dem Geist das ewige Leben ernten. Because the person who sows to his own flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. It's just that simple. And just take, the flesh will take you out to hell and death. But the one who sows to the Spirit, you gotta put in an effort to sow to the Spirit, will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Just that simple. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we read your word, Lord. I just pray you'll help us to express the things that we're reading, what you read here in your word, that you will not be mocked, no matter who it is, Lord. We just pray you'll give us the grace to express it the way we see it. How over the years, Lord, we have listened to your voice, we have surrendered, we have done everything you wanted us to do, Lord. And because we read some things in your word, Lord, that put fear into us, Lord. We just pray you just continue to use us for your honor, for your glory. Help us to take advantage of the time that we're living here in this earth and to use it for your honor and for your glory, Lord. Do as thou hast used thee fit, Lord. Help us to be overcomers in the day and hour that we are now living in. Lord, I pray you open the hearts of the people that they'll finally get to understand what we're trying to say here all along. Pray, Lord, to give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We got a message, text message yesterday from this guy. I think it was about 5 years ago. He came through here, and the Lord did a miracle in his life. He come here, and he was so polluted with sin. The Lord, he made contact with us, and the Lord is he wants to reach out for everybody. He's got an answer for every human being, and help for every human being on the face of this earth. If they only give him a chance, and he contacted us. So I did what we usually do. We go to the Lord. Lord, there's this guy here. I don't know him from Adam. But you know him. You know the circumstances. And I went to the Lord about it. And he gave me this scripture here concerning this guy. This Jeremy from Greenwald, an ex-Huttery. When I went to the Lord, and the Lord just... See, I've read the Bible all my life. All the Lord has to do is remind me of a scripture. I might not know exactly where it is, but I know it's in the Bible, and it says, the Lord give me this scripture, and have mercy on those who waver. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. Have mercy on others, coupled with a fear of God, hating even the clothes stand by the flesh. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others, that's him, save with fear. That's him, that's Jeremy, pulling them out of the fire. He was so bound, and oh man, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment sputtered by his flesh. He's so polluted with all kinds of filth in his lifestyle that the Lord should just pull him out of the fire, but realize that even his clothes are so contaminated. And you just pull him out. Be very careful. That the Lord warned us time and time. Be very careful. You're going to learn something here. And yeah, and he came here, and you saw right away there's something wrong. But I just saw one thing. The guy came to us for help, and we're going to do everything we can. And then the Lord told me to pull him out of the fire. Apparently he's caught up in things that he had not to be caught up in. So I went. He stayed here overnight. So I went to bed, and the Lord let me know the guy's got a demon possessed. He's got a devil. So I just right to my bedroom right there, and I didn't even say it out loud. And just in my mind, I told the devil, "You're going to have to get out of here." And he didn't pay attention. I had to do it 3 times. "You're going to have to go out of here." And then just out. You know how I said it?
You said, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, you're going to have to leave. And the third time, he listened a bit, because I did it by faith. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing impossible to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I was just doing what the Lord told me to. In Jesus' name, you're going to have to go. Mm-hmm. And the third time, he just, that's like a boomerang. He had it right to your door, out the window, and then it was gone. And I knew that I saw him. He was an ugly bugger. And it was real. Like, it was, I'm not playing a game here. And the next morning, we got up, and he heard us talking about something about the devil. And he knew something happened, because he said his arm was sore. See, the devil had to go out, and it affected his arm. And you saw, you felt his presence.
Yeah,
very fearful, right?
Yeah, it was a very fearful demon. Yeah, like almost like petrifying.
Yeah, he could control with fear. Mm-hmm. Controlled with fear. But anyway, he got delivered, and man, he was sitting laying here for 3 days, like in a trance. The Lord did something for him, and he was like in a shine of glory. He was just bathing himself and his heavenly sunshine that the Bible talks about. And then the morning I got up, the third morning I got up and I said, Lord, what do you want Jeremy to do? And the Lord right told me, well, tell him to go back home and tell his people he got out of it about this here truth that the Lord did for him. And he actually gave me that scripture about that legion. You know that legion, back in the days when Jesus cast that legion out and he wanted to follow him. And the Lord said, no, just go back home and tell the people where you come out what great things the Lord did for you. That's the commission that the Lord gave me. That's the scripture that the Lord gave me for that Jeremy. Go back and tell the people where you come out of you, and that the Lord has been good to you, what the Lord did for you. Mm-hmm. So I got up, and after a while, I said, so Jeremy, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do from here on in? Oh, I'll probably go back home and tell the people that I come out of what the Lord did for me here. Yeah, that's exactly what the Lord wants you to do. So he left here, and he went driving down the road, and he decided, you know, just mocking God, you know, just, I don't need them suckers. I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to take all the glory to me, and I'm going to go back home, but I'll do it in such a way. I'm not telling him that he went to San Laurent to get help. He's going to see if he can get the glory for himself. And you were coming out of the washroom, and he mocked you, you know. He just fled out of everything the Lord did for him. He fled out, mocked you, and just that's right about this subject. God is not mocked. Well, mock him if you want to, but he's going down the road, and he's mocking us. I don't need them suckers, and I'm going to do it my way. And then a few days, he shows back up here again, and he said, I didn't last very long. I fell on my ass very fast. Well, I said, yeah, I know you down the road. I know you're not going to laugh with your attitude. You got a stinking rotten attitude. I don't need them suckers. But see, God doesn't change his mind. You still got to go back home and tell the people what the Lord did for you here when you're over here at San Laurent. That you take, cast that devil out, say it exactly the way it is, and never mind about taking glory for yourself.
Yeah, it says, right, in Mark 5, verse 19, but Jesus did not permit him to do so. He wanted to follow, go after Jesus. But Jesus, he said to him, go to your home and to your people and tell them what the Lord had done for you, that he had mercy on you.
And that he did exactly that. And then next year, the town people, they saw what happened when that demon went into these pigs, and they told Jesus to get out of the county.
Mm-hmm.
But then he went and told the people what the Lord did for him.
Mm-hmm.
And the next year Jesus came back and they roll out the red carpet for them. And that's exactly what happened here in broad daylight in the 20th century, right here in this house. All he would have had to do, go back and simply tell the people what the Lord, that the Lord had mercy on you, had compassion on you. That's the only job description you have. And then, then he didn't do that, you know. He tried to do something so he would get the glory for it, you know, just human nature, you know. And then 2 or 3 months later, we seen him in Winnipeg and asked him what, if he went back and told the people what the Lord did for him. Oh, I don't think I could do that, you know. I'm being honest. I'm talking you through this whole episode here. And all he would have had to do, go tell the people that you come out, that the Lord had mercy on you. That's all you got to tell them. And he had to come over to Salem to get some help. Well, like I say, God is not mocked. You can reject it. You can do whatever you want. And before you know it, what the devil did, then he just took 7 more worse than he is, and he went back into the guy. He said he was unfruitful now. So last night he texted us a message that, what he said? Something along
his Aunt Christie.
Yeah, his Aunt Christie, the only thing person he has in this world is his Aunt Christie, and she's dying from cancer, and he wants to know if we can do anything about it. Well, just let him know. Call us up that we should take care of his problems now, you know? Mm-hmm. That we should come a running now that his Aunt Christie is dying from cancer. And I told him, well, first of all, you're going to have to repent. That's the first thing you have to do. If you can even get the heart of God, I don't know if you can even, but you got to touch the heart of God somehow. Even now, after everything he's rejected, he spent 5 years wasting away. In the meantime, he's mocking God, and he's not doing what the Lord wants him to do. And here he calls us up. He's in dire straits. His whole world is caving in on him, and the only thing person he has in this world is his Aunt Christie, and she's dying of cancer. And like I say, now his whole world is caving in. Well, just snap your finger and we'll come running. That's how they treat God. Like just think God is some kind of a little puppy. Just snap your finger and the dog will come with a stick or whatever. And here's the same thing, you know. Well, he called it up. Then he wants to know if we can do anything for him. Well, that's his problem.
That's what happens with people, you know. That's why Jesus comes a person's way, because he wants them to save them from a dilemma that's coming, to help them from a dilemma that's up the road. And that's the whole purpose when accepting Jesus and following his will and doing what God requires of you. And then God can take care of everything, but he can't do if a person rejects that what God has for a person. And then when the catastrophe comes and dilemma comes a person's way, then they expect God to come running and now take care of everything. But that's the very thing that Jesus wanted to save a person from. You know, it's like Brother Brenham said, the way of a transgressor is hard. When Brother Brenham, like his wife was dying, they realized what the problem was. When she was dying, they realized they had rejected going up to those holy people and acknowledging that's where God is at. Because they listened to the mother-in-law instead of the voice of God, what God wanted for them, what Jesus had. And then she lay dying and they realized what was happening. And that's why Brother Brenham lost his first wife. And he said the way of a transgressor is hard because you have to follow the consequences of what you did in the past.
See, we all go through our time.
Absolutely.
Difficulty. I went, my whole world came caving in. Everything that could happen did happen to me. And I realized I was alienated from the presence of the Lord. And I began to turn my heart towards the Lord. And I began to seek and I began to search and I began to do whatever I needed to do to get in contact with the Lord. I spent many a night in prayer, crying out to the Lord, and finally the Lord gave me my mission, gave me my commit. What I need to do, I need to go up and tell these utterant preachers how corrupt they are. That's what my mission. That's exactly what I did. It didn't happen overnight, but all of a sudden my world kept caving in, like I told you before. My son got lost in the forest. My other son lost his fingers. My daughter had ear infection, and oh man, my whole world came caving in. But I know I cried out to the Lord. I went to the Lord, and the Lord, one by one, he came to my rescue. And he'll do the same thing here. And I told him, I called him, I sent him a message. Well, you can maybe start by repenting that you spent 5 years wasting away, thinking you're going to get away with it, thinking you can continue with your lifestyle. And it's 5 years. Now it's all coming against you now. Now you're going to have to pray your way out of it. You're going to have to see what the Lord has for you. I said, why don't you start, first of all, by repenting that you missed five years of your life wasting away in not doing what the Lord wanted you to, thinking you can mock God, thinking you can turn against God, and He's going to have favor with you. It's not going to work that way. You're going to have to go back and do exactly what the Lord wants you to do. Go back and tell people where you what the Lord did for you. And if you repent that you missed these 5 years now, and then, I said, the Lord let me know. You could start by go down on your knees and get beside her bed and pray all night on her behalf, that maybe the Lord will find mercy and grace in His sight to see if you can't touch the heart of God for all mocking Him all these years. That's the only solution you have. We're not going to come down here, lay hands on her and pray for that cancer to leave. That's your baby. God wanted to prevent that 5 years ago. He knew what was coming up the road. He wanted you to go out there and do exactly what He said. I'm going to go back and tell the people where I come out of, and that the Lord had mercy on me. That's what the Lord wanted you to do. You didn't do it. Now God is, you reap what you sow. You reap in the flesh, you'll sow corruption. And you reap in the spirit, you will reap life eternal if you would have done that. But see, there's still hope. I told him, well, how about you? First of all, you have to repent from what you did before the Lord leave it. Take time out to even listen to you. And then what you do, you get down on your knees beside her bed all night long if you have, as long as you can get to move the heart of God. We can't do nothing for nobody. We just, if you just direct you where to help it, you have to do is see if you can move the heart of God. That's just that simple. That's what I have to do. That's what we all have to do. We all come into our places of calamity and the world comes caving in on us. We got to cry out to the Lord ourselves. Because there's nobody that can help you. The only one that can help you is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you gotta find a way you can move His heart. If you could get Him to move His heart, He'll do something for you. Other than that, it'll all just go down to destruction. Just that simple.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Moving the heart of God. That's where a person needs to come to, you know. It's because it says, like, a contrite heart He will not reject. If a person is really sincere, you know. But there are conditions in things. Like, if a person has mock God, and there are, like Brother Brenham said, the way of a transgressor is hard. And when his son, he did the sinning, and he said, you did the sinning, you do the praying. You know, you have to find that place in God. You know, that's where people don't, they try to elude that. They try to shove the responsibility off to somebody else. And that's what this world has promoted and created, is they think that they can just
shove that responsibility off to somebody else. Like my brother Ernie, he's like that. He thinks he can live like he wants and then he can shove the responsibility off to me, but he's responsible for his own actions. Mm-hmm. And in the end, he's going to have to give an account for them. And that's the same way with everybody. You know, you cannot and will not go before God on somebody else's merits. You know, it's you and you yourself has to come to that place and make right with God.
And go back to do exactly what the Lord told at the beginning. Mm-hmm. God's not going to change his mind. You still got to go back. You still got to move the heart of God. See if he's going to do something with that cancer. If he does, fine. If he doesn't, you're still going to have to go back and do exactly what he told you to do when you left here. Mm-hmm. Go back and tell the people that the Lord had mercy on you. God's not going to change his mind. Now you can mock that. You could go about your own way. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to come back and do exactly what the Lord told you to do to begin with. God's not going to change his mind, believe you me. I know what I'm talking about because I walked through all that. I know what I had to go through in life. And I had to persevere. I know exactly what it's going to cost me. It's going to cost me everything that I ever worked for. It cost me my family. Everything. To this day, my family is turned against me simply because I went out the door and I walked away trying to find this something that man from Forest River called the camp and told my dad, there's something out there. While we put our life on the line, we're going to find it. I know there's something out there. And then I just left my home, and that's exactly what I did. And like I say, my family to this day, they hold it against me. But see, I had to do what I had to do. And God's not going to supernaturally snap a finger and make everything right. I had to walk through that lonesome valley myself. And for years, to this day, I'm still in the outs. Mm-hmm. Simply because I followed the Lord. And
that's right.
You're going to have to do the same thing. God's not going to change his mind. All you got to do now, get down beside your knee. Find out, repent of all your atrocities for mocking the Lord. And then what you do, you try, what you can do is to pray until you move the heart to God. Other than that, God is willing and able. He's more willing than we want, but he's not going to be playing the game. You're not going to get away with promising something and then not do it. You're just going to have to do whatever it takes to move the heart of God, and then he could clear that cancer up just on the heartbeat, just like he did with me. You prayed for me, and that cancer couldn't go out fast enough. It's the same thing today. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. But today we're talking, you can't mock God and get away with it, because God, he just let you drift. And then the reason the Lord did that for him back then, God knew if he allows him to continue down that road, calamity will come. Mm-hmm. Cancer will come. Disaster will come. All these things will come on you. But now's the time to turn around. Now's the time to grab a hold of the Lord and just go back and tell the people where you come out. Just look how easy it would have been if it would have just gone and told the people, God have mercy on me.
Yeah, that's the one thing that the Lord told you. He needs to go back and work with his Aunt Christy, you know, and have some camaraderie going there.
That's exactly
what
we're doing here.
Mm-hmm. Do something with her, for the glory of God. Let them know, his people, where the truth is at and what God has done for him, all the wonderful things that he had compassion on him, and he reached down to the lowest part of hell to pull him out of the fire, and these are the things you a person needs to really cultivate that in their life, and because God wants to rescue them from all the calamity that will come their way, and then that's one way to do it, is to make sure that you are in service for the King, and do your part,
God's not going to change his mind. We had people come through here. We take that. Keep talking about that Ken, Dr. Bell's Ken. He with me for 3 years. And he know what I'm about. He know that my desire and passion is just to serve the Lord. And the Lord spoke right out of heaven, right then to his soul and spirit. go stand with Sam. No matter what, just go stand with Sam. That's the only job description he has while he's here on planet. Go stand with the truth for your day. Don't have to stand with, just stand for the truth for your day. And then he was good for 2-3 years. And all of a sudden he made a 180 and did exactly the opposite. And goes tells the people that you and I were shacking up. That's the reason he left them. Mm-hmm. And then see what happened. Then he gets his certainty. He gets his disease. I don't know what the disease is, but he gets his disease.
Something like Parkinson's.
Something like that Michael J. Fox has. And see, that's what happened. Because God didn't want to do, he would have prevented all that. I know, back in my day, I knew if I walked with the Lord, if I don't walk with the Lord, this muscle disease and all these things, they'd all come on me. But as long as I serve the Lord, as long as I'm about the Lord's business, it'll prevent all this calamity from coming across my life, and disaster is not going to hit my family as long as I do what the Lord wants me to do. That's why we're doing what we're doing, so we can have an expected end for myself and for my family. That's why we're putting all this effort in to be about the Lord's business. That's what the Lord was trying to move on him, to do exactly that, so that he can see, prevent him from the calamity that's coming. That's why he wanted that Kenneth to tell him, just go stand with the truth for your day. And the same thing with that Randy. That Randy came through here and the Lord had a mission for him. Just go tell your siblings about the truth that's here at this end time, about God sending a prophet, about that Samuel Rand having. God, all you got to do is just go tell him. What does he do? He just sits out there in a rat-infested place and has done a thing for the Lord ever since. And all he goes around preaching that the earth is flat. He gets caught up in this garbage. Anything but what the Lord wants him to do. All the Lord had for him was a simple program. Go tell your sibling. Because they never had a parent. They never had any parents. All they had was a bum for a parent. And here, God's given an opportunity. Go tell your siblings what the Lord is doing here at this hour of time. And that's all anybody has to do here in this closing days. That's the only message that's left. Go tell the people what we're telling them here. God sent a prophet. The message for your day, for the message for the church, shade the leadership. That Leonard's program will take you out to hell and death. This is the only message that's left here in these closing days of time. The message to the invitation to the marriage supper of the truth for your day. The truth for the church age of leadership. Buy and be gold, try it in the fire. And we're putting all our effort in, all our resource is going in to tell the people all around the world what God had for this hour. He's not going to change his mind. There's only one message, and that's the one that we're bringing out here on a day-to-day basis. Now you could mock God. You could go out there and do your own thing and think the John Higgins of this world and the Billy Grimms of this world is going to have something for. They're just decoys to keep you away from the real thing, from the fact that God sent a prophet here in these closing days of time. And that's all you got to do is tell people exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that's all that Jeremy has to do now. Just see if you can move the heart of God. God is merciful, and a contrite heart and a broken spirit, he will not reject. That's all the job description you have. You have to go and see if you can move the heart of God. And then once you move the heart of God, then you do what you promised. You go and tell the glorious things that the Lord did for you. That's the only way that you're going to get this cancer out of your aunt there. Just that simple. There is no other way for you to go. It's because you messed up for the last 3 years thinking you can mock God and get away with it. Yeah, you can go mock him, but it says you're going to reap what you sow. Mm-hmm. You're going to, God, because it says God is not mocked. He won't allow himself to be mocked. He tells you what to do for your benefit, and he told you what to do for your benefit so that these calamities will not come against you. Now all of a sudden, the world came caving in, like I say. The only person he's had is his aunt Christy. Other than that, he's got nobody in this world. And now that's being taken from simply because he rejected and he neglected and he mocked God. You got to see how, how you can move the heart of God. That's all I can say.
Yeah. See, that's the fallout of not doing the will of God. And that's what happens. And people don't realize there is a fallout when people reject truth. Like, we mention names here all the time of people that we come across and they reject truth. But in the end, there's a fallout. Somebody in their family line, you can see something happening that's not good, because somewhere along the line, somebody refused to stand up and be counted for. And like, we always mention that Dan from Bloomfield, and people like that, people that don't stand up, and then the rest of the family, they suffer from because of that. And that's the calamity that God likes to prevent and save people from. Just like He wanted to help America and the world, basically, when He sent a prophet. And that was the message for that age. And if people rejected it, that's why you see the darkness all around the world. You see fighting and all people against each other. That is the result of rejecting and mocking God.
Just that simple. Mm-hmm. All we're trying to do, we're trying to alert people what's going on. The church age of Laodicea is only one message. God sent a prophet. These donkeys out there beating their heads together, charging millions of dollars, getting rich over preaching the word and getting rich over it. They're not going to do nothing for you. You're paying them to take you out to hell and death. This is the only message for the church here to Lizzie that's left. The invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you can take it or leave it. The Lord is we come across a lot of people already trod our soldier, and all ambition that God ever had for any one of them, go tell the people where it's at. Go tell them about this here truth. That's the only thing that's left. And these closing days of time, God sent the prophet to the church here to Laodicea, the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. That's all you and I are doing. We're just holding on to the fort. And if you really want to do something for the Lord, just go tell them about it. Just that simple.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord, and we just want to convey the seriousness of when people mock you and they don't follow your ways, Lord, that there are consequences, Lord. But we also know that you are merciful and you can pardon people, Lord, if they only can touch your heart, Lord, with a contrite and a broken spirit, Lord. We know you will not reject, you will not deny. But we know that there are consequences to actions that people will have to face, Lord. And only you know what a person needs of. And we just pray, Lord, for people that you'll help them, Lord. Come to that place, Lord, that they can find mercy before you. We give you thanks for everything you do for us, Lord, for the truth of our day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.